I don't ever mind with the man of God's up here leading songs, but what I'm telling you is God gets in it. I don't ever want to be a hindrance in trying to stop music because people want to hear my voice. We'll just keep the singing going as long as the Lord's in it. I don't have a problem with that. Preacher can come at it because I'm just telling you, there's times that God gets in that singing, man. You don't even want to disturb nothing. You just want to stand still because you're afraid it's going to chase everything away. But I thank God for Pastor Haim and when he's connected with God there. It's fun. I like sword drills. I like doing them. I like doing them during Youth Week. It's fun. You know, Teen Week's getting ready to come up. And I was talking to Amy. I said, Teen Week's getting ready to come, so everybody's emotions are running high so it can drive them up to the pulpit and nothing ever happens to them. Mm-hmm. It's reality. Yep. Teen Week's coming. Cool. Let's get ready. For what? What are you getting ready for? I mean, if you're a lost person in here, you should be getting ready to get saved. But Teen Week's coming. Let's get ourselves all worked up and come in and hear the good singing and hear the good preaching. And possibly come up here and make another profession. I mean, are you preparing your heart for the minute God will going to get up here, right? Isn't that what it's all about, is getting yourself ready for the preaching? Isn't that what a Sunday morning should be, is that you get up and you have to, I know you have to get up 10 more minutes earlier than you normally would and prepare your heart that God would show up. People say, you know, God hasn't been in the church in a while. Are you getting up and showing him that you want him to show up? Are you expecting God to show up? Are you expecting him to show up in the singing? Are you expecting him to show up when a pastor says, hey, you know, Dick, can you get up and pray? Or, hey, brother, can you get up and pray? Are you expecting God to show up in that prayer? Are you expecting God to show up at all? And if he doesn't show up, maybe it's because you haven't showed him you want him to show up. Wow, does that ever occur to anybody? That you should be preparing yourself Wednesday? Wednesday, I guarantee this, me and my family were praying for Pastor Hain, that God would give him a message for us. And that we would be ready to hear that message. Because quite frankly, getting up here and having the men of God preach, and if you're not hearing, and there's a difference between hearing and listening. Right. When you hear something, it'll make you change what you were. It'll make you change your mind on something. But when you're listening, all you're hearing is wah, 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 wah. And it does nothing. And once again, we leave the church. Once again, we leave here the same person we came in here. Nothing. And that's a very hard place to be. But I want to share just a couple quick things with you. I got this in the mail the other day. And Brother Ronnie, some men got together and they drew me a picture. And they all signed it. One of the guys, one of the dorms that I do a Bible study on at the Monroe County Jail. And he drew hands. You go, why is that significant? Well, number one is they thought of me.
Amen.
They missed the hearing of the Word of God. They missed the preaching. And they signed it, which means it was more than just one person. But if you know anything about jail, Brother Ronnie, you know, that cost somebody something to have that drawn. That wasn't done for free. Somebody got charged a honey bun, crackhead soup, whatever. You go, ah, that's funny. But somebody paid for that. And they paid for that out of hard-come money because some of those men are indigent. Some of those men don't have family who can give very much. So for a person to have that drawn, it meant something to them. For have that drawn. And then, listen, ready? Here, then they put a stamped envelope in the mail. That cost them even more. You see, so when men or women do these type of things in which a woman has been writing back and forth with Autumn and she's sending these great pictures and such, that means something to them. Pastor, I do. I use your pen pals. I got pen pals out there for you, man. And these women they're loving it. Remember, I thought the pen pal program was dead. I thought, man, nothing's ever going to come about this. But in God's time, he's awakening that thing up. And man, I'm telling you, it's making an impact on their life more than ever now. Okay? And so I thank you guys, but let me just say, when they send stuff, if they send you something, they may not send you something, but if they send you something, believe me, that didn't come easy for them. That came very hard, and it came at a price that to us, it just seems, well, that's 55 cents. That's not how it is in jail. Mm-hmm. 55 cents is big money. Mm-hmm. The time to sit down, well, you go, they have all the time in the world. Listen, the only time they really have time is when people are still sleeping so they're not bothered, or when they're locked in their cell. There's a price for them to pay when they write those, okay? And so I hope, God, that you will get an answer. But just keep in mind that it costs people to send you something out here. Okay? And keep in mind to be praying for those that you write. You may not know their names, and you may not know who they are, but God knows who you know who they are. And so stay in prayer for them. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. And guess what? On purpose. How about that? I thought, I preached purpose last week, I think it was, when Tim McVeigh was here over at Anchor Baptist Church. And I barely scratched the surface on that. On the word purpose and what it meant and such. And so pastor called me up and said, hey, you're preaching at 1 o'clock. I said, all right, great. And so, Lord, what would you have me preach? You see, that's the first thing that comes out of my mouth. Lord, what would you have me preach? Because quite frankly, I got probably, 500-600 messages at home that the Lord has given me through the years that I could preach, and I could just pull one out of there and come stand behind the pulpit and say, here's what God gave me. No, but I really want what God has given me. And so clearly it came to me, purpose. I said, oh, we're going to go back to the second part of purpose. And what it is, the purpose in your heart like Daniel. And so let's read Daniel. I got to get there. Daniel chapter 1. Ezekiel, Daniel chapter 1. And we're going to go to verse 8. And if you weren't there, Amy put the message on. But I think you listened to it, because here's what it says. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And Daniel determined in his heart that he will not defile himself with those things that the king was offering. He will not defile himself with those things that the world was trying to get him to do. He says, I will not put those things in my mouth. I will not bring those things to me, because in his eyes he said, I'll be defiling myself before God. All he's doing is eating and drinking. But he knew at that moment that if he partook of that, it'd be a defilement. You know what he wanted? He wanted what God wanted more than he wanted what the world had to offer. Think about that. He could have had that sitting there in front of him at any time. He could have ate whatever he wanted and drank whatever he wanted. But you know what? The things of God were more important to him than the things of the world. And I'm just telling you now, as lost people or as Christians that are sitting in the churches across America today, the world has become more important to them than the things of God. 8.5 years of being saved, I think we've been out on the road maybe 3.5 or 4 years and traveling around and watching the churches, and I just go, my goodness, the world has infiltrated another church. You see, when you start reading, and I might repeat this, when Daniel was doing those things that he was doing, when he would not give in to the world, you know what it says about Nebuchadnezzar? He changed the words of Nebuchadnezzar. You see, the world didn't change Daniel. He changed the world.
Amen.
You see, today in churches, the world is changing the people of God. The world is changing us sitting in the pews. We're allowing the world to change us into something. Why? Because we're not purposed in our heart. We're not purposed in our heart to want those things of God. We're purposed in our heart to make it look like we want the things of God. But really, we're letting the world infiltrate us. So what happened? It says that he changed the king's word. And when you purpose in your heart to live your life for what God wants, it will change the world. Wonder why we're not changing the world? It's because we're not living what God has purposed for us. There's a purpose for every single person sitting in this room. There's not one person sitting here that God does not have a purpose for. The thing is, how bad do you want that? What's blocking? What's stopping you from wanting what God has for you? There is something there. And let me say, the problem is not with God. The problem never will be with God. The problem is the person who has a purpose. And so the purpose is something that's intentional. How about that? When you purpose something, that means you're intentionally doing it. I know when I was out there sinning, I purposed in my heart that that's the life I was going to live. And when I got caught, I never went to jail and pled not guilty. You go, you're crazy. I said, no, because I went out there living the life that I was going to live, and I knew the consequences, Tanya. I knew what I was doing. I knew what I was facing. They say, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. Mm-hmm. Well, I did the crime because I could do the time, and it didn't bother me, quite frankly. By the time I was done with my last 5 years in prison, I was okay with going to jail. Pastor didn't come put the handcuffs off of me, and I didn't shed a tear. Because I purposed in my heart that I was going to live that life that I said I was going to live. I was going to live that way to the fullest. Either until I went to prison for eternity or I went to hell. And now people look at me and they say, my goodness, you go headlong in this whole Christian thing, don't you? I said, I used to live that way for the devil. Now I have Jesus Christ saved me. And now I purposed in my heart to live that way for him.
That's right.
And you know what? It's not a hard life like what we used to live. Do I get depressed today? No question I get depressed, but it ain't nothing like I used to get depressed. Why? Because I have Jesus with me. I get discouraged. Hey, I'm a human being. I don't have an S on my chest and bullets don't bounce. I can't walk on water. I get discouraged. But you know why? I get discouraged in Jesus Christ, and I can go to somebody who can encourage me, but also exhort me.
Yeah.
You can encourage me for the day, but you can exhort me for a lifetime. And that's what God does. When David got discouraged, it said that he encouraged himself in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's something that 8.5 years old, I'm trying to learn how to do is encourage myself in the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
Why? Because I intentionally made a decision. I made a resolve or a determination. I made deliberate choices of action or a thought, no matter the consequence. Daniel purposed in his heart, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, he purposed in his heart no matter what the consequence was going to be, he was going to live for God and not the world. He purposed in his heart. That means with everything that he is, everything that he was, there was nothing that was going to make him waver one way or the other. Boy, what a sad thing to see today in churches where there is no purpose in their lives anymore. They've lost that purpose. They've lost that intentional living for Jesus Christ. They've lost that drive. It doesn't matter to them anymore. I remember when Jim brought up, Jim Cox, about the importance of the Lord's table. That was something that was important to Jim. But you know what I noticed? That wasn't a purpose in my heart. That wasn't something that I thought about. But you know what? Because he was able to exhort us in that, I take that very serious now. And I purpose in my heart, am I right with you today? Is there something that shouldn't, is there something that I'm not doing? He said, now today I prepare myself for that. Why? I purpose in my heart that I want the things of God more than I want the things of the world. And I left off at Anchor Baptist Church and said, I don't want to be a Daniel, I want to be a Dale who has purposed in his heart to desire the things of God. Okay, Daniel's Daniel. That's written in the book here. But I want my life to be a written testimony. That when I die, when people aren't going to be sad about my death, they're going to go, now that man purposed in his heart to want Jesus Christ. Now he's the one. Now that man wanted to go out there and live for Jesus. Now he wanted to go out there. You know, they're not going to have that in me and say, well, you know, Dale, sometimes he was a part-time Christian. Sometimes he lived for the world. Sometimes he lived for Jesus. Man, I don't want that on me. I don't want half the world on me and half of Jesus in me. I don't want that. I want people to say that he had purposed in his heart that he was going to live for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Let me show you some examples of somebody who purposed in their heart. Turn with me to Colossians. Now let me just say this. This may not have the word purpose in it. By the way, the word purpose is only in your Bible 56 times. Okay? Purposed, purposeth. Purposeth, purpose. Okay, it's only in the Bible 56 times in those different forms. Most of that's in the Old Testament. Okay, predominantly the word purpose and such is in the Old Testament. It is in the New Testament as well, but not as much as the Old Testament. But boy, I'll tell you what, you don't have to have the word purpose there to see somebody doing it in their life. And here we're going to see a person who has purpose in their life to live exactly the way God wants. Turn with me to Colossians. Chapter 3, well, let me get there myself. Colossians chapter 3, Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. Here's what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, if you then be risen with Christ. You see, he put that if there because you know what? Some people were saved and some people aren't. He knows who he's talking to. Okay? And so here he says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. He has purpose in his heart. He's telling you to purpose in your heart to seek those things that are above. Why? Because we get caught here on this earth. We get caught with the blessings on this earth. We get caught praying to God, hey, God, this is what I need here. And this is what I, when do we ever stop and take a breath and say, God, you know what I need is you. You know, God, I'm always asking you for this, and I'm always seeking it, you know, for healing and this. But when have we ever stopped and said, you know, God, what I really need is you? If you're lost here today, when's the last time you say, you know, what I really need, God, is not for you to make me diligent, not for you to help me to continue to see, but what I really need is you. You see, here it says, seek those things which are above. There's a purpose in this person's life. And he says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You ready? Here's the next one. Set your affection above. There's a purpose in their heart. Wait, why? What are they going to do? They're going to determine in their heart not to have their self asphyxiated on this world, but to have their self asphyxiated up there. You see, if Jesus Christ means anything to us, that's an easy thing to do. But when the world means too much to us, that's a hard thing for us to do. Because we try to please the world so much in our lives. And this is what Daniel was doing. Daniel was purposing in his heart, I'm not worried about pleasing the world anymore. I'm going to please Jesus Christ. I'm going to set my affections on Him. I'm going to set. You see here, that word seek and set, those are both things that we have to do. You know, Jesus Christ saves us, and He doesn't just put us in neutral when we just cruise along. There's things that we have to put away. There's things that we have to set. There's things that we have to seek. God puts that in our hands and says, now I want you to do it. Pastor said it perfectly when he says He led us. That door is wide open for us. But you see here, now we have to make that choice. We have to make that decision. We have to make that determination. We have to make that purpose in our heart. Have you really purposed in your heart today to live as a Christian? Have you really purposed in your heart to be a Christian if you're lost? Where's that purpose? Okay? Where is your purpose? Check yourself. Where are you at? Where do you stand? Look what it says here. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Well, you know, when Paul writes something, he writes it emphatically. He writes it like there's no way to put any doubt in something. Okay? He writes it like it's written, it's over with, it's done. If you have this, it's over with. It's set in stone. Look at what it says here. And then it's gone. It says, your life is hid when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Here it is. Mortify. There's a purpose that's got to take place. You have to mortify these things in your life. That means you've got to kill these things that are in your life. I could sit here, church after church, and even in our home church, and the people that I've talked to, the people I conversate with, and I can listen to their conversation, listen to the things they tell me, and yet they refuse to mortify these things and wonder why they are where they are. They just will not kill them. Why am I this way, Brother Dale? What is going on in my life? I said, well, I can bring it to a verse like this where it tells you to kill those things. Where it says, the purpose in your heart to really get rid of these things. And then you watch their life and you go, they really don't want that. They don't have a purpose in their heart. Because if you have a purpose in your heart, you're going to do exactly what is being said. Look at what it says here. It says, mortify these things. That's self-denial. That's the kill to purposely put away. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things the sake of the wrath of God coming upon the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when you lived in them, but now also put off. That means you got a purpose in your heart that you're not going to do these anymore. You see, you had to mortify those first things. You had to kill them. You had to purposely determine in your heart. You had to make an intentional decision not to do them. But now he's telling us, now I want you to put these things off. You see, the first set, we include our body in most of them. Our body gets involved in most of them when we sin against our body. That's the only time it's in your Bible that we sin against something other than God. We sin against our own bodies. That's why he says to mortify it, kill it, get rid of it purposely in your heart, intentionally make the decision you're not going to do them anymore. And then look at it says here, put off. That's somebody who has purposed in their heart that they're going to do these things. He says, put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off. That's somebody who's purposed in their life. He says, the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. You see, that person has purposed in their heart, I'm going to get rid of these old things in my life. And now I'm going to live in the new man. That takes a determination. That takes somebody who has really purposed in their heart that this is what they want. This is what they really want their life. You see, a perfect person is not going to put these things off if that's not what they really want in their life.
That's right.
You see, God's got to bring you to a point where you really want something gone. It's called the place of hatred, the way He hates things. When we can come to that abomination in our life, when we see something and God has made it so clear to us, but yet we don't have an abomination. I was just talking to somebody and he said, hey man, he says, I really do hate these things. I said, then why are you where you at today? How much do you think you really hate them? And let me just say this, the very moment you tell God, I hate these things, I don't want them no more, you better believe it's coming to you. Because He's going to show you two things. One, it is. You do hate it, and you'll never easily turn back to it, or you're not ready. Which one is it? Where is your purpose lie today? What have you purposed in your heart? What do you really want out of this thing? What are you looking for in salvation? What are you looking for in the Christian life? What is the purpose that you think that you have by being saved? Have you ever thought, why am I going to get saved? What is the purpose of me being saved? Why do I need to be saved? If you can't answer them questions, don't you think you got a purpose in your heart to be able to answer them? And you know, God, hey, God can speak to you in that. The problem is most people don't want to hear what God has to say. I'm guilty. You know, God, you've been okay with me for this for how many years now? 8.5 years. I bet you've been okay with that. I don't want that no more, Dale, but God, been okay with that. You see, sometimes we don't want to hear, so what do? We do just like Samuel and Eli. Samuel was hearing God's voice, but he didn't understand it was God's voice. He ran to man. Why? He wanted to hear what man's thoughts were on it. He had to hear what man had to say. Why? Because we're more comfortable that way. Because not God doesn't always answer things according to our will, and thank God for that, huh? Thank God, God doesn't answer things always according to our will. But you see here, you have to purpose in your heart to put on that new man. Because it says here, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him. That we have that purpose in our heart that allow God to take those things. And let me just say this. When God starts taking who that old man is and He starts teaching us how to mortify them and put them away and get rid of those things, it's hard. I've been this way for 48 years. 40 of those years as a lost person. It didn't just change overnight. God has had to teach me, first of all, my first and foremost, before God would move any further with me after I got saved, was to be obedient to authority. Because He was about to become that final authority in my life. And if I could not submit myself to authority, then I was not going any farther with God. I'd still be sitting in that church pew doing nothing. God, I remember it clear as day. And how does He do that, Tanya? With my mother. With my mother. Brought me to a place, brought me to somebody that I would have never in a million years listened to, Stephen, ever. And now God is going to use that person to help me submit to authority. You know why? Because God don't do things my way. God doesn't play my games. And He doesn't do things the way I think He ought to do them. But you know what, John Mark? I purposed in my heart that I was going to do it. Am I perfect at it? No, I'm not. But you can ask any one of them three, do I purpose in my heart to do that? 100%. Why? Because I want God. I want Him in my life. I want Him so bad there's times that I can't even barely walk. because I want God so bad. And I'll be shouting out, and I'll be sitting out there on the, and listen, I'm telling you, I get on the floor and I kneel on my knees and I said, God, here I am, humbled myself, you know, because I would never get on my knees for any person. But here I want to show you, Lord, I want you to see that I'm humbling myself under the mighty hand of God. You know, a lot of people don't notice that verse says under, not on top, not in. When God wants to humble you, you're going to be under it. Where are you going to be found? You're going to be under His hand. That's how He humbles us, Tanya. Under. Puts that pressure. Here I am, Lord. Please see. Please see that this is what I want. I've come to a place in my life where living this Christian life and having a relationship with God has become so important to me. It's become almost, not everything, almost my everything. Almost. I'm not there. But I want it to be there. That relationship that me and Him can have. We were just singing a song. Amy played, what was the name of it again? In the Garden. That brings me back to Melissa and Ed Blunt. That was her favorite song when she used to sit in these pews. And that brings me back to those days of when I first got saved. I said, God, that relationship that me and you had back then, I want that again. That's what I strive for, is to be able to draw nigh unto you again, God, because I've allowed so much stuff to come in between me and God. I've allowed so much stuff that for a couple of years now, I've been just living close to God, not nigh unto Him. And I long to have that relationship with God again. I've purposed in my heart that I'm going to get that again. I'm going to draw nigh unto God again so He can draw nigh unto me. And you know, He's done it through long suffering and grace, but I'm telling you, He's done it through a lot of affliction. I'm not talking about my family being dragged in. I'm talking about a lot of affliction inside myself and things that happened. But you know what I had for the first, well, not for the first time, but my heart aches for others like it never did before. My heart aches for people. When things happen and people go awry or something happens in their life, the aching in my heart is almost unbearable. I said, my goodness, Lord, if this is what I got to go through to get that, then I'll take it. You know why? Because I love to see everybody saved. I love to see people who come out of jail and prison. I'm not talking about just them. But the ones that I work with, man, how awesome would it be to see them sitting in a pew and married and working and doing the right thing and Jesus Christ being fully formed in them, knowing that they have that life. That's something I want. But let me tell you this. God isn't going to take a punk like me and make that happen. He's got to move me out of the way. You know how hard it is to allow me to let God move me out of the way? That's why it says God has got to hide pride from man. He's got to hide my ways. He's got to put the world in my heart to hide those things so that He can get my attention, so that He can get a hold of me. And I'm going to just tell you this, when God starts putting that pressure on you, and you listen, it's in those times that you need to purpose yourself. Because that's when God goes, yep, they're real. You see, when God starts putting that down, He starts humbling you, and you purpose in your heart, I'm still going to go after this. I'm still going to do this. God goes, that person is real. You see, He can't mess with people who just say they want that. God doesn't want a person just to say that. He wants them to have it. Look at this. And it says, and He searches the hearts, and He knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's what people don't understand as Christians today. We have given up our will. If you're a saved, born-again child of God, it's not according to your will anymore. When do we understand that it's not about our will anymore? It's not our purpose anymore. We've lost that. We've given it over to the one who died for us. Listen, that's not a hard, hurtful thing. It's a good, kind thing that God does to a person when He takes their will from them. Could you imagine if God left us with our will, Tanya?
Oh.
What a mess. What a horrible nightmare that would be to be me being stuck with my will, Sam. God in His mercy and His grace, it's about His will. And what a wonderful will it is. Sure, we go through hard times though, but man, what a wonderful will it is to have, know that people are praying for you, that God is there, He's striving with you, He's teaching you. We get to hear the men of God come here and preach. Man, we're spoiled rotten in this church with the preaching.
Yep.
My goodness, what a... Listen, when's the last time you thanked for just that?
Yep.
I know we don't have everything perfect in this church, but we have a bunch of imperfect people. But I'll tell you one thing we don't lack, and that's the preaching of the Word of God. Thank God for it. When's the last time that became something important to you? Man, look, it's the will of God. And it says, we know all things work together to them who love God. So we know that's a saved person. Unsaved people can't love God. So we know he's talking up to the children of God here. And look what it says here. So to them who are called. Did we just talk about that, Pastor? Just talked about that calling this morning. Who are called according to his purpose. Listen, Tanya, you're saved. Great, wonderful. God's got a purpose for you in his life. It doesn't mean you're going to come up here and preach. That's not the only calling that God puts on a person. People have it in their head. Well, I'm either going to be a missionary or a pastor. That's the only calling. No, it's not. Whatever God has you to do, if you're a janitor in his church, then that's God's calling. That's his purpose for you in your life. And what a wonderful thing that would be. I remember becoming a janitor for the first time in my life. It was very disgusting. But you know, it was in that me being a janitor where God humbled me. He gave me a work ethic at McDonald's. He gave me a work ethic at McDonald's. Because normally I would just skip corners and everything else. And I'm just telling you right now, God would just get all over me about those things that I did. And he made sure that I went back and I did them right. At McDonald's, Amy. I didn't go to college to get that. McDonald's. He humbled me. Why? Because it was according to his purpose. And I can go back and tell the whole story of my whole life up until where I'm at today. And I just look back today and go, oh my goodness, I never saw that. Lord, thank you for doing that for me. Thank you for bringing me to those places. And it's just the will of God. And we know that all things work together according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That means that God's purpose for us is to look more and more like Jesus and less like us. That's his purpose. Why would he save you from your life? To leave you doing the same things, thinking the same way, talking the same way. Why would he do that just to leave you the same person you've always been? Why? That never made sense to me. I see somebody who's been a Christian for 50 years and hasn't changed a lick. Man, thank God I don't have that Jesus. Thank God I don't have that Jesus. Thank God I have the Jesus Christ who's still today. And I just talked about my wife yesterday. I said, Amy, thank God that Jesus still works in our life today. Thank God there's something. God is always dealing with me something about something that's going on with me. And it's not always a horrible thing. He's not an oppressive God like that. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, God, I didn't see it that way, but thank you for showing me that. Because you know what? Not a human being on this planet shows me that. The fact of the matter is that God in his mercy and his will to conform us into the image wants to show us. You know, God always has the perfect way of doing it. And if God is dealing with you in your life, he may be trying to crush you, but it's 100% love and it's a whole different crushing. Okay? It really is. But you have to see it that way. And you have to purpose. Listen, you have to purpose in your heart that you want God to do that. Don't just say it. Don't just say that you want out of this and you don't want to do this. You know, listen, God has heard that a quadrillion times. What he's looking for, Pastor, is somebody to finally purpose in their heart. Yeah, this is what I really want. Mm-hmm. And you'll see throughout the scriptures that when a person does that, God can do something with them. We're almost done here. We got 5 minutes, 6 minutes. I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You see, there's a purpose that just took place. It's no longer about me and what I do with my body. It's about what God wants me to do with my body. Here it is, Lord. You, however you want me to live, whatever you want me to do. You know what would have been a real easy decision for me to make? Yes, I'm going to move to Rochester because you know why? It takes me an hour and a half to drive out there and it kills my body. You see, that's my purpose. That's my comfort. But what does God really want? Did I ever stop and ask, what do you really want, God? No, I have not. But I know what he wants now. I promise you I know what he wants now. But you know what? I didn't think it. He said, this is my body. You think God likes to see me suffering in pain? You got the wrong God. If that's what you think of God, you have the wrong one. But sometimes, Sam, the only way he can get my attention is through pain. That's the reality. He's got to shake me up and he's got to rattle me. But here's what it says, that who are called according, present your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's our purpose. That's our what we are to do. Hey, listen, you put your life on that cross. You've been beat for me. Those crown of thorns got kicked on your head. They ripped the beard off of your face. They beat you until you're hamburger meat. And you know what, Lord, I'm having a hard time going on Wednesday nights. I'm having a hard time doing Sundays. I'm having a hard time getting up and reading my Bible. But thank you for what you did. He called it a reasonable service. That's something that we have to purpose in our heart. You mean to tell, you know what, I think it's the book of Hebrews says this. We have not strived on the bloodshed trying to get rid of sin. We haven't been brought to that place. It's a reasonable service. What's our reasonable service? To come in here. To worship the one who died for us. To give our life fully over to him no matter what. That's a purpose that Daniel did. No matter what the consequence was of Daniel, no matter what he faced, including the lion's den, he purposed in his heart not to do those things of the world. I'm sold out to God. No matter what God wants, I'm doing it. He purposed in his heart. Let me close with this. Job 33:17 says that God may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. Okay? God's got to do that. Why? He's trying to give you his purpose now. He doesn't want you to have your purpose and your will. It's his now. And then this is what it says. The book of Daniel is an example of a person who has purpose in his heart, that over all else, he wanted the things of God no matter what came his way. When the devil tempted Daniel with the goods of this world in chapter 1, Daniel purposed in his heart not to take of it. When the devil attacked music in Daniel chapter 3 to get all to bow to a false god, Daniel purposed in his heart not to do so. When the devil attacked Daniel's prayer life in chapter 6, Daniel purposed in his heart not to stop praying or serving his God. Instead, the Bible says that because of the purpose of Daniel, that Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except for their own." Daniel, because of the purpose in his heart, wanted to live for the world. Why? Because he wanted to help change the world and not the world change him. You see, the book of Daniel is an example unto us on how we should purpose our life. Because as you go through those chapters, you're going to see every single time that those challenges come up to Daniel, he's made a purpose in his heart. He's made a determination. He intentionally said that I'm not going to do it. I'm not giving in. My life is now hid with Christ. How about that? My life is no longer. Galatians 2:20 says it. I no longer. It's not me that lives. It's Christ that liveth in me. There's a purpose that has to come into our hearts. We have the purpose in our lives that no longer am I going to give in to those things that I used to. No longer am I going to live a life according to what pleases me. But God has a purpose. And that's why he says that he has to withdraw pride from man. He's got to hide that thing. Why? Because man likes to fall back into it. Man likes to get into it. Today, will you purpose in your heart to live for Jesus Christ? Will you be like a Daniel? Because we hear the song, to be like a Daniel, or I want to be like a Daniel. Then you need to purpose in your heart like Daniel did. You can't be like a Daniel if you don't do what he does. How are you going to be like a Daniel? Be like a Daniel and purpose in your heart. I'm done, Pastor. Amen.
Amen. Page 265. 265. I am not.